Survivor Specials, Phil and Alexa are back, and dare I say, so is Survivor. I don't think I've meant that in years, but for the first time in a long time, I feel like I can say the word Survivor is back. That was wild. Now, Alexa and I, as most of you who listen, know that we are University of Miami people, so there's been many a time where we thought the U was back, and then we were dropped on our skulls very hard, but here we are. I'm feeling so damn good about episode 2 of Survivor. I actually don't know how to handle myself. Normally I come on here and it's vent and rant Phil. And instead I'm kind of like, I have nice things to say, and that's bullshit. But anyway, Alexa, what's going on?
Yeah. Phil and I both hopped on and we were like, nice. And yeah. I think in my, however many years I've been doing this, I'm like, God, have we never been that like on the same page about this? That was fantastic. I also want to like someone clip Phil's intro for last week versus Phil's intro for this week. I just, man, that was so good. And I wouldn't have cared who lost. I wouldn't have cared who went home. That was Survivor. That was not Survivor Lite. I don't know how many days they're out there, but I like this isn't even a 90 minutes thing, but to me, like what stuck out so much is Tribal Council. I felt tension and I knew who I wanted to go home and I knew who I wanted to stay. And no one was talking about how Survivor is like jumping on a trampoline or riding a scooter. Mm-hmm. They were, Brandon was like, here's my asset. Emily was like, here's my asset. And everyone was pretty darn honest about what they liked about both of them. And I was so nervous about who was going to go home. And that tension is something that I genuinely have not felt watching Survivor in a very long time.
And you know what that stems from is we actually know who these people are as people. Mm. And they tried to force it so hard in these recent seasons of showing the backstory, showing pictures of people, showing whatever. Just slow down and tell the story. And I feel like everybody's going to knock this out to 90 minute episodes. Oh, 90 minute episodes. That's why we got more. That's why every single person got a confessional tonight. I don't think that's happened in the second episode of a season, maybe in the history of the show. Because there's so many people and normally it is an hour. So I get it. We do have significantly more time right now. But the thing is, you could always say, maybe we should take a step back and tell the story or let the story tell itself. And it felt like season 41 through 45, and really before that too, for a long period of time, maybe with the exception of like David versus Goliath or something along those lines, it felt like explosions, 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 explosions. But if I don't know who my characters are, I don't care if they blew up in the explosion. Mm-hmm. And I think right now they said, hey, the first Star Wars movie has like five explosions the entire time. And when Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi have a lightsaber fight, it is the most boring looking lightsaber fight, but it is the one with the most influence over anything. You give a crap who's going to win that lightsaber fight. Mm-hmm. That's what Survivor did tonight. They said, let's go back to basics. It's okay if it doesn't have like Krav Maga on it. It can be a normal like fight. And it was tonight. We watched two people from two completely opposite ends of the spectrum as far as Survivor goes. We had a villain who I'm very worried is going to become not a villain. And we had the super fan who couldn't get his shit together the entire season. Mm-hmm. But it was my personality and what I can bring to the tribe going head to head. And you cared about both their stories. What an interesting concept. I just couldn't believe it.
It's fantastic. And I think to add to that, imagine what Emily's growth arc would have looked like if that happened over the course of like 2.5 minutes instead of probably the like 8 minutes that we got. And for Brandon, like we got to see how much, like we were told by his castmates, not by like a photo of a family member. Like we were told by his castmates, by Caleb, that he is like, he's so empathetic. People love hearing his stories and they love talking to him. And I really did not know who was going to go home. And I was watching with two other people and that commercial Big Four Tribal Council, we were like doing what I did growing up. We were like, who's going to win out? The one who's like fine at challenges, but not as empathetic, or someone who's terrible in challenges, but is more empathetic. And it was so good. I mean, obviously it's devastating for Brandon, but he seems like he really went out like at peace to an extent, which is like all you can ask for. I know that sounds so dark, but I felt so good this whole episode. I feel like I know so much about all these people. I was getting all choked up at those intro credits. I'm not gonna lie. Y'all have heard me cry before, but man, that hit.
I know. I tweeted it and I really felt it. My parents now know the players' names. And Troy Zan was one of the people who reached out to us last week. And I have no problem saying that, because Troy Zan loves to just talk about like what he doesn't like about the show. So when Troy Zan Robertson is tweeting positively about something, we are at the point where why did it take so long to get back to this? It's a minute long. Just do it. It doesn't matter if it's a 60-minute or 90-minute episode. What's amazing is no matter what TV show you watch, it always finds a way to get its title or its intro in. It doesn't matter what show you're watching. Why did Survivor not do this for so long? This is such a breath of fresh air, and it's so simple. I was dying laughing at how much the community was reacting positively to this, as if we had just been granted $1 million when we've been given the simplest thing in the world.
It's like we just built a Suri statue. Like, yeah. It's like, I don't like it's. It's the auction on steroids.
Yeah.
I ditch the auction. Give me this. Like, and you know, to be fair, we did just say like I did just say, you know, Emily got quadruple the amount of time that she would have gotten last year. But I don't know what 5 million people watched the premiere. Mm-hmm. I would assume 4 million of those are diehard fans, and everyone knows the Survivor music. And I don't know what happened. Like, the Survivor music, they doesn't show play anywhere anymore. Mm-hmm. And for that to come back, I really didn't think that they were going to bring the music back. And every, like, I'm not being dramatic, like everything I loved about Survivor watching on my couch in my house growing up, I felt that watching this. And I just, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you 100%. I feel like this was the first time probably since season 40, and I would say the buildup into season 40, not the actual, COVID hit. So like what was going on at that point, probably the first time since season 40 that I'm like, man, it's like, this is a show worth applying to again. And I get that right now, the show, what the players are doing is essentially the same thing that's been going on the entire time. But I watched it and I said, that's something I want to do. Mm-hmm. Which I haven't had that feeling in years. I really haven't. Because I always said during season 41, when Sydney got screwed, I said, if that happened to me, I know how I am as a human. I would never recover from that. Good for Sydney for being fine with it. But if that happened to me, I know that I wouldn't sleep for years. It would be ridiculous. But after watching tonight, the players are making the decisions. The players are doing things that feel adventurous. We'll talk all about the idol clues and things like that. Mm. And just something so simple as that intro. That is what, when you used to watch that with your parents growing up or with whoever you watched it with back in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, when those people's faces would appear on screen, you'd say, I love them. I hate them. I hope they go home. They already went home. Who was that? Are they still in the game? That's great. Because it gives you that instant reminder of who everybody is. And it makes it feel so real. You're not just being dropped off into the middle of something. Mm-hmm. I was so into this episode, like so into this from start to finish. I loved every second of it. I said to Alexa, this was the first time in so long that I always say I'm going to live tweet, or we should live tweet. And then we're just like, what are we going to live tweet about? We don't like this. This is the first time where I felt like there were actually things happening that we wanted to react to.
Yeah. And I'll throw myself under the bus here. Phil texted me today. He's like, I'm going to live tweet. And I was like, dear God, don't do that. I was like, please, Phil, please God, don't. And I didn't check Twitter once. I was like, Phil must be recording himself singing right now. Like, this is, it's just so good. And these character moments, like I Jeff, I hope you're listening. Like, this was Sabaya's eye roll when she realized she had to spit roast that candle over a fire that she'll never see is just unreal. Mm-hmm. It's so good. D with the foot situation, which I think we will get to. Like, you think D went on TV and was like D had a, let's say D has a watch party tonight and her family's like, your toe does that? She's like grabbing Drew with her like big toe. Like, I don't care that like if D doesn't win, it's because her toe is big. I'm just so glad that the Jeff candle is now behind me. I'm just so glad that now we know why this Red Tribe is so cohesive, because they're all a little weird together. Mm-hmm. And D doing that didn't immediately make Drew be like, D's so weird. They were all laughing about it and they all patted Drew on the head when he came back. I love the tribe loyalty. I love the tribe pride. It's so good.
Yeah. And I say this all the time, and I feel like tonight reiterated it opposite way.
Thank you.
There you go. I feel like tonight really reiterated this. The cast has never been the problem. So last week it was great, right? Because everybody knows at this point that Alexa and I are the Survivor people. In our friend groups, if somebody watches Survivor, you get the text. My dad, the 7 times he texts me a week, 6 of them are about fantasy football, and the other one is about Survivor when he wants to complain about something. Everybody who texted me last week was putting it on the cast. And part of me wanted to put it on the cast too. And I said in last week's episode, we do need to expect more from these casts. And I still firmly believe that. I stand by every single thing I said last week. There's nothing that I regretted. I didn't lose sleep over anything. I stand by what I said. But at the same time, the casts aren't the problem. The editing has always been the problem. What the producers are having the casts do have been the problem. Because last season, when Matt doesn't have a vote because he didn't have a choice at one point, that's not his fault that now he has to play the game differently and we're not getting his true personality, or that we're getting forced backstories. They used to be able to fit this in 45 minutes. Don't let them tell you that they can't do it. They can do it. They just have to get rid of some things that maybe they want to keep. But this just really proved it's not the cast. Whatever cast Survivor puts out there is going to be enthralling. I was thinking about it as I'm watching this. I'm like, I used to like watching Rocky and Lisi play against each other. Okay, you can convince me that they are fun to watch. I don't need to love them. I don't need to hate them, but they are fun TV. You're going to have characters that you don't feel strongly one way or the other about. It's never the cast. The cast is going to come in and they're going to do what they need to do. And you're going to be able to pull out of them what you can pull out of them. Tonight, it was shown that when production takes a step back and lets the cast be the cast, trust the cast. We were broken records for 6 years. Mm-hmm. When they trust the cast, Survivor is at its best, because I love D's toe. I love Sifu doing whatever Sifu's doing. I love Drew. Drew is hilarious. I love that Julie and Drew are teaming up all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. These are small characters right now. These are characters I don't feel like I need to know that much about. I love that Keturah is treating Bruce the way Christine treated Coach. I love that. This is what it's about.
So, this is what it's about. Yeah. And we still had like idols were so present, but they were harder to find. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see it beyond, because I know that they said that they shot this season with the intention of 90 minutes. It's going to be very interesting. I don't know if there's 90 minutes next season, but like if there are, I think it was shot without the assumption of 90 minutes. But anyways, even these idol hunts, like they're not just like in a tree, or they're actually famously in a tree, but they're not just like, they're not in just like the hole of a tree, and they couldn't figure it out. And I was staring at the tree. I was like, what is the problem? And someone I was watching with was like, why is there a weird rope there? Why is that vine weird? And that ended up being the catalyst. So it's, you can interact as a fan with these kind of challenges. I wish Phil was drinking a beer. It's unfortunately a sparkling water. It is 10 p.m. So, you know, it might be time for a beer. But like Jay just looking at her cipher or code thing, whatever it is, like She's doing what we're doing. That is relatable. That's relatable. Not looking at like Alexa's, you know, eighth grade tennis picture.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing for me. When I fell in love with this show, and when I, you know, I started doing this podcast in 2015, the winter of 2015, Will and I did the final three episodes of 29, which are hidden from view. So we really got started in season 30, and I was still in love with this show because what you love about it is how would you handle the situations these castaways are putting? You can envision it for yourself, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. The challenges, the strategic elements of it. But what started to happen in this era that I think Survivor might be putting behind them for the better, much the way they put 21 through 24 behind them, 41 through 44, kind of funny how it falls in line there. But I think that there was too much random and you couldn't understand what you would do in a situation because it was so random. It felt mm-hmm. like it was all luck. The best players aren't always going to win, but the best players should have a chance to do something. Mm-hmm. And I think pretty much ever since the Janet Carbon episode of Island of the Idols, I have felt, well, really since Edge of Extinction, but since the Janet Carbon episode of Island of the Idols, I've had a bad taste in my mouth about a lot of what Survivor does, because it feels like too much of what a player can control is being pulled away from them for the sake of good, big TV moments. Mm-hmm. And tonight I sat there and I said, how would I handle what Jay Maya is doing? Would I stand there and stare at that thing and say, can I figure out what I'm supposed to decode from this? I feel like I would. I don't think I would actually be able to decode it, but I think that's the kind of obsession that I would have. Huge moment tonight that I thought was great was Brandon giving the thing to Sabaya. So this is something I'm never going to play Survivor. It's never going to happen. They're not going to cast me. But if they ever did and you play with me, here you go. Okay. I love what Brandon did with this because I was thinking if I was on my own and I found a Beware advantage, I would put it back and every 5 minutes I'd be walking over there with like mm-hmm. behind somebody or something and make sure they found it. And if they find it and it's not there anymore, if they don't tell me, I know I can't trust that person. Yeah. If they do tell me, then I'm like, ooh, like I gained trust because I knew it was there the whole time. Brandon did it in his own way tonight. And I said mm-hmm. to myself, would I have done it that way? I might have. I probably would have. I love these moments. I love it. And it's editing. And it's keeping the game in the hands of the cast, not random twists.
That's so true. Brandon and Emily both had really cool ways of showing how they want to make themselves worthy. You know, like Emily giving away her shot in the dark, that is so creative. And Brandon being the first person to not open a Beware advantage, or I guess like, I forget what Shannon and them did, but like to now you're automatically bonded to Sabaya. I just think those were creative ways to work with something that was already there. I think it's fantastic. I could really go on and on about this, but you know, if the only thing that I could use a reward challenge. That's my, like, at 8:52, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, the journey, I can still do without the journey. I think the sitting and like chit-chatting was just very awkward. And then I appreciated that you did a challenge and you could sort of choose it and like play against yourself. Mm-hmm. I think the talking, I think something's got to get figured out there.
You know what it is? They don't have, so for both of your things, I agree with you, but I think mm-hmm. because they're doing 26 days, this is where you feel it.
Yeah.
It was 39 days. I think they would have reward challenge. I think the other thing is they want to bring back Exile Island, but they can't in 26 days. This is the mini version of Exile Island. This is praying that the token chain situation will actually take place on the island.
Yeah. And it hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened, but I think it's because it is so short. How long did they stand next to each other for? 15 minutes, 20 minutes? It wasn't long.
I felt like I was watching it for 20 minutes. It was that awkward. Yeah. I guess Shannon, Liana, but that only got so far.
Yeah. It did only get so far, but
yeah.
Yeah. If it was 39 days, I do think if Survivor goes to 39 days and gets to keep an hour and a half, reward challenges are the first thing that come back. But I think Exile Island would be here to stay. I think 100% we'd get it back. I think Exile Island fits into the new era of this game better than Exile Island fit into the old era of this game. I think Exile Island would work perfectly with three tribes that are small and people constantly having to give things up and whatever. But my favorite thing about this is after how miserable that first journey or second journey, whatever it was in 44, where they had to play, they had no choice. That drove me insane. And I love that they overcorrected, properly overcorrected, but overcorrected to the point of you get to choose if you want to participate and you're only going to have 3 minutes. You have all the rules laid out for you. You know you're going to lose your vote. That's how it should be, though. Let Bruce make the mature adult decision, you know? Let it happen.
Yeah, and I don't mean to derail you, but yeah. Will and James are maybe not watching Amazing Race right now and somehow watching us, so blown away and honored. Hi, James. It's good to see you.
First commercial break.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we get like 90 seconds right now.
Yeah.
I would say I agree, but I wasn't listening to anything you said. So
no, it's totally fine. It's just, again, it's going back to Survivor feels like it's going back to its roots.
Mm-hmm.
And people would look at seasons 1 through 18, because I always say Russell Hantz broke the game. So people would look at seasons 1 through 18 and say, I want to do that or I don't want to do that, but I love watching it and I can't believe how crazy these people are. And then Russell came and he changed the whole game. For better or for worse, he changed the entire game. And that lasted for until season 40. And then 41 through 44 were its own thing. But I really feel like this was trying to take a step back to what made the golden years of Survivor the golden years of Survivor. And mm-hmm. what weren't the golden years of Survivor, talking like 25 through 30, 25 through 32, still so damn entertaining. Feels like they're learning.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think in regards to the reward challenges, we might get that in the merge because there are rewards in the merge. And I think that will also make reward challenges feel a little more exciting. Because a lot of times, like, they win Chinese food, they talk about it, and then they go away. I think this will be very good for the auction that I assume is happening.
Mm-hmm.
A half hour of the auction, like, I would love that.
Yeah.
I think... because I have to just like look for something wrong because I'm just not used to talking about things so positively. Mm-hmm. I think it would be great if like they scooted, if there's going to be one challenge, you scoot that to 8:45, like have mm-hmm. that kind of right as the halfway point. Cause we did go like almost an hour until the journey, I feel like, or the journey was kind of the halfway.
It was point. 52 minutes was when they started the immunity challenge.
It was it. Yeah. So, but at the same time, like there was still enough time at Lulu when they were going back and forth. And I felt like they were appropriately going back and forth. And we know like why Brando is in the middle and we know why Kelly is in between both. And we don't know why no one high-fived Kendra. I think she's still standing there without a high five from Bruce. And I really hope someone does something
about
that.
I am praying for Kendra that she recovered from her fall tonight because.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I was watching with my brother and I think he jumped 6 feet.
That was one of those where I said to myself, you know what? Maybe I don't want to do this. maybe.
Okay. So would you have run that challenge with shoes on or without shoes on?
Alexa, I'm going to be.
We were arguing about that.
No matter how I would have run that challenge, I'd still be swimming in the water. I would have never gotten across that beam. So I think I probably would have done it without. I think I would have done it without shoes on because I think the shoes are heavy to swim in. And I think that's just terrible. But at the same time, me barefoot, I don't have toes like D's. That was one.
Dee just like crawled her way across.
Yeah, looking at Dee's toes, I said to myself, "Man, I have nice feet," and I've never said that about myself before. But as I was,
don't undersell yourself. I'm sure you have great feet.
I could not get across. I would have struggled big time with that. I probably would have been doing the puzzle, so I wouldn't have had to make that decision. But if I'm going with it, I don't think I'd ever get in the water with my shoes on. To be completely honest.
Yeah, watching Kendra impale herself, I was like. Her feet, they were slippery. And I saw Emily ran with her shoes. But talking it out, you need to have shoes that have some grip to them. Because I feel like a lot of like walking shoes don't have any grip. So I feel like that could have made you slip too.
Yeah.
But Emily was the only one who I noticed was wearing shoes. And I thought, that was smart. Maybe like your foot is a little more even because not everyone has like the grip strength that D does. So it makes your foot bigger almost, which I think might have helped.
Here's the big thing for Emily. She has the smallest feet out there.
Yeah.
So totally. That is a huge, her and Jay Maya have the two smallest feet. So that's a huge advantage for them in this type of challenge. So when they wear their shoes, they almost have like a normal sized foot going across that beam. Whereas somebody with a bigger foot, I think you need to go shoeless because you need to almost be using that arch. If you have gigantic feet trying to run across that, like Scott Pollard, there's nowhere to fit his foot on that balance beam. So yeah, that's what I would have. I don't know. I think I would have gone shoeless. I really do.
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead.
Can we bounce all the way back? I want to go through this episode a little bit, like a little like point by point. We're 25 minutes in. I'm having a great time, but I want to make sure we hit everything pretty much that happened this episode. There's a lot
Please.
Of stuff. Okay. So I even took notes. That's an hour and a half, I think, is beyond my brain at this point. So I was talking about the Jay Maya trying to decipher the cipher, and then we get Austin. He figures it out. And then we didn't get anything else. What else was going on with this Austin situation?
Yeah. So Austin figures it out. And where do they go? He's not. Oh, the X, the palm tree X.
The one with X.
They just never went there. Like the closest we got was he tells Drew, which I also thought was a really cool dynamic. Like Drew, I think, is very captivating. I think he makes for an excellent narrator. And like a theme that has come out of this episode is that loyalty is not bad, except I guess Brandon went home.
Honesty. But
honesty is not bad. And I think, like, you hear it with Sabaya. She's like, well, I could just vote her out. I have a shot in the dark. But then you go over to Drew, and he's like, I'm going to be honest. And that makes Austin want to be honest with him. And neither party chooses to screw the other over because of that.
Yep.
So I think that is so refreshing. And I think that's part of what makes that tribe so powerful. I loved Julie wheeling and dealing, and they all were into it. No one was like, Julie's coming on too strong. Julie's name, right? Yeah. And so I guess like this four is kind of leaving Jay and Sifu out, but it doesn't seem like they're out because that tribe just seems super tight. But to answer your question, yeah, I think Austin and Drew maybe just didn't get to it, or it wasn't important enough.
See, that's how you know it's a good episode, because Alexa didn't just answer my question with a, well, maybe. She like went into the details she actually wanted to talk about. And I'm struggling to remember the last time that we had so many details that we wanted to make sure we mentioned.
Yeah.
But I think that's important. And I kind of want to break down the order of this, because we don't also, Austin doesn't have his idol yet, right? We know he figured out the first part, but he hasn't done it. So first of all, Julie goes to Drew and wants to work with Drew. And she's telling Drew who she wants to work with, which is Austin and is D. And at first I was a little concerned because I was thinking to myself, do they actually have that good a relationship with Austin and D? Is this actually something that's going to end up happening? And then it works. They go back. Drew goes and talks to Austin. Later in the episode, when Drew gets the safety without power advantage, he tells everybody about it. Austin is all about it and then goes and talks to him. Sifu and Jay Maya, I don't really understand why they're on the outside, but it was refreshing to understand why the four people who want to work together want to work together. Because in 43-minute episodes of Survivor from seasons 21 through 44, we would just be shown that one scene of Julie saying to Drew, I have a good feeling about these two. We'd see a montage of those two. And then 30 minutes later, we'd get a confessional of one of the people being like, Julie thinks I'm close with her, but I don't think so. And that would be it. It would be a cliffhanger. Instead, we understand why the four who want to work together want to work together.
Mm-hmm.
It was very refreshing.
Yeah, it's extremely refreshing. And the only thing that feels odd is like we don't know why Jay wasn't included, because we're seeing there's like a lot of attention on her in challenges, and she's the one who was kind of figuring out the cipher. And I was scrolling Twitter while you were talking, but also listening to you. Mm-hmm. Where are the memes of all of the ciphers and her thinking with like all the numbers that were put up? Like that is a meme format, people. There's a lot you can work with there. Sifu, I can understand that, because last week we were told that they're not really jiving with him. But we're, I like where they're going. He's doing some sunset Tai Chi. I'm liking what I'm seeing. I don't know if anyone has eyes on Coach, but I think he might need to be consulted about this.
Yeah. And so we know so much about this Red Tribe that has been winning things, and they had a really epic comeback in the immunity challenge tonight, which when you have a three team tribal and or three team challenge and you know that it's going to be two, you know, it didn't matter as much. We don't feel it as much with, oh, they're going to win more fishing gear. The people out there definitely feel it, but we don't feel it because I'm going to eat. I had pork and jalapeno cornbread tonight. Like, I'm doing great. I don't need to worry about the fishing gear. But that was a really good challenge, and it really showed off, like, the strengths of Juru. And I'm sitting here watching this episode tonight, and I'm feeling like the winner's coming from Red after tonight's episode. That's my thinking. We'll talk about Blue in a second. But when I look at this Red Tribe, I think Sifu might just be a little too weird for the tribe, and not even like not in a bad way, but Sifu feels like that guy when you sit down and you watch, when you like, if you were to buy the DVD set 10 years from now and you watch it and you go, I haven't seen this season in forever. I don't follow anything. I'm very casual. You're a filthy casual. And you watch it, you say, why don't I remember this Sifu guy? Almost like Clarence Black back in Africa. Why don't I remember him? He has to do something, right? And then you watch it, you like him, but he goes out just early enough because they're worried about physical strength. He doesn't really make the tight alliances. I feel like Sifu's just maybe on the wrong tribe on this season, which is where he's going to be fun. He's going to have a good time, but I would not be surprised to see him go pre-merge. Jay Maya, I think, is in a lot of trouble. I think it was very clear tonight that she's on the outside looking in. But the other four, I think, are winners in that group of four. I really do. We've seen a lot of content of them, and the content that we're getting is personal content and strategic content. And man, Juru is an over the top winner at it right now, right? I mean, I don't know if he's actually going to win, but I feel like everything he says is so matter of fact and confident, and he's doing everything you're supposed to do to get the winner's edit.
It's really confident, not cocky. And that is such a line to straddle, especially on reality TV. But that is like the kind of, and I hate seeing like the kind of energy, but that is like the kind of vibe that I think has mass appeal. You know? Yeah, I know. Let me just vibe instead.
Yeah.
That has like mass appeal, you know? And he said, like, we've met like introspective poetry, Juru. And well, I guess not met, we've been told, but like, and then like arm around your shoulder, chugging a beer kind of Juru. And now we have narrator Juru. So there's really a lot there. And I was very engaged when he was talking, even though he wasn't saying anything particularly groundbreaking, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think Austin's getting a very clear, like, this is a strategic and physical player. I think Dee is getting a very fun edit. It's very different. And I love her confessional in next week's episode where she's saying she feels like Juru is cheating on her. I love this. Like, I feel like we're getting dynamics we understand. And yes, some of this can be credited to 25 extra minutes or whatever. It's really more like 22 extra minutes. It can be credited to that for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Survivor, I can't believe it's only 22 minutes.
But Survivor could also be showing us the wrong things, and instead they're electing to show us the right things. And that is what's refreshing here. We are getting dynamics like we haven't gotten before in years. So let's jump over to the tribe we haven't really talked about yet, and the tribe that I was concerned was about to be our glue, and they weren't, thankfully, because there are 90 minutes, but man, you could see them writing Kelly out of this episode as best they could. So Blue Tribe, Keturah doesn't like Bruce. Everybody else really likes Bruce.
I can't get enough of that. Keturah not liking Bruce is the best storyline we're going to get. I hope it never stops. I hope they're at the final tribal council together and she rolls her eyes the whole time.
And it's
unbelievable.
I think that might happen.
There's a good chance. Well, it's going to be them and Emily wins. To be clear, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, I'm laughing because I was laughing when you were talking previously, because I'm finally looking at the tweets that you posted, and you decided to sign your name on the one about the Coach and Christine dynamic not the Quentin Tarantino feet comment.
You know what made me laugh is I was like half tweeting I was half paying attention to my tweet in that moment because the show had come back on. Mm. So I was like, oh, crap. So I signed it. And then I was like, oh, man, I got to say the Quentin Tarantino thing. That's a really funny one. So honestly, like, I wasn't paying attention. And I was like, Alexa told me to sign my name. So, you know, I kind of did. But then I stopped. And at this point, I was so positive tonight. I was like, Alexa's going to be mad at me for signing my name. Because she'd be like, no, Phil. Like,
no, I want the credit.
Although, let's be real. Me and John are doing a movie podcast at 10:40, 10:30 tonight, whenever we're done here. And we're going to be talking about the creator and Guardians of the Galaxy. So if anybody wants to tune into that, do it right after. But everybody knows that I'm the one who's going to be tweeting a Quentin Tarantino reference, Alexa. Even if you know about Quentin Tarantino's feet fetish, you're not going to be the one who's putting that tweet out in that moment. That's all I could think in my
mind. That's brain. So fair. I've never seen a movie in my life.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a very good point.
Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? This is a very serious question.
That was actually the first Quentin Tarantino movie I ever saw. I didn't like it. And then I've seen one other. I've seen Inglourious Basterds, and I thought that was a fantastic movie.
Did you notice how egregious, though, the Margot Robbie foot shots are in that movie? And the Margot Robbie foot shots.
This is not where this podcast was supposed to be going tonight. This
is where D is bringing her future career, though. She is about to be on the same level as Margaret Qualley and Margot Robbie. And she's just going to be in Quentin Tarantino movies from now on.
The new Jenna and Heidi. Katara and Bruce. I love it because it's fun because you don't know which is correct. Mm-hmm. Like she, you know, we talk about like who is correct often. She seems correct. Like she was like, we saw her playing Jake last week. So we already trust her. And from what from the clips we got of Bruce, sounds like she is pretty correct. Like, yeah. Also, is Kane okay? Like, did he watch tonight's episode and was like, what just happened? Why was my name dropped? That was amazing. But Bruce is like, he's a weird dude. I bet he watched this episode cracking up the whole time. He's an extra dad.
And what does every man Bruce's age, and I mean this with the most kindness I can, because I'm going to be there soon. What does every man Bruce's age get from that episode tonight? When Jake said he was funny. Yeah. That's what he's going to gather from that episode, right? It's all the other stuff about from Katara and everything and all their thing about voting him off and everything. But right now, Bruce, whoever he was watching that with, he's looking around at them going, see, I am funny. That guy thinks I'm funny.
So now,
I don't know what the hell's happening to Jake next week. I hope that that's not a serious thing. It looks like he's like keeling over because he had like a fire issue or something. I don't know.
I couldn't tell about that. Yeah.
It was weird, man. It looked bad. But either way, he thinks Bruce is funny. So if that's his only contribution to this season, then that's his only contribution. But what I did think was great was we hear him say Bruce is funny, and then he's teaming up with Bruce, and the two of them are going to go. And, you know, they're the ones who feel like they're on the outside. And I think what Survivor did a phenomenal job of tonight with this Blue Tribe is they brought us into the story with Bruce and Katara. And then they brought us in with Brando. So it was Bruce and Katara and Jake saying clearly that he's on Team Bruce. And they brought in Brando, putting on his tube top. That was loved hilarious. That. Huge fan of all of that. But this is where the editing was so good. Safety was still spelled wrong, just like villains in the promo. And I guess I'm going to be an asshole about that. A lot of people would know how to spell that right. But when I'm watching this, they bring us in with Brando. And Kendra's got the confessional of the girls aren't splitting up. We got Brando. We got this. We got that. And then the last person to talk is your queen, Kelly. And Kelly comes out and she says, I can get along with the guys and the girls. And I don't really know which way I'm going to go with it. And we get that beautiful moment of the Brando and Kelly and Bruce and Jake together. Mm-hmm. And you say to yourself, is that the alliance of four? And Kendra and Katara just don't know it's coming yet. And we're really up in the air about it right now because I feel like we know both sides. And we also know why Kelly is conflicted on it. We know why Katara is so anti the Bruce side. We know why Jake feels like he has no choice but to be on the Bruce side. And we get Brando's confessional. And Brando, play it up for the cameras, King. But he says, I don't want a weak woman to go home. And then he turns around and says, I want to align with the strong, muscly guy.
We love play to see it.
Up, okay? When Jack and Jill is the reward whatever for the merge, Brando is going to be the one who's sitting there saying it's a great movie. That was beautiful. Loved how that was done. Huge fan of the way that went. So
I thought that was so good. And I think to add to that, Brando and Kelly find each other and they're like, oh, cool, we're the two swing people who also happen to be the two puzzle people. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's intentional or not. I think like a lot of times it is the same duo that tends to do a puzzle together. And that probably is a big bonding moment because you're both the anchors and you're, like it or not, it falls on you a lot of the time. So that probably creates this weird alliance, not weird alliance, but this like very subtle alliance that they haven't even said, but I feel like could be a cool thing to reference to,
Yeah. I think that's a great point because I think that's something that goes missed when you're the one who's doing it. I think back in Pearl Islands, right? Savage was so protective of Austin because mm-hmm. they were doing the physical parts of those challenges together while they were losing. And it felt like you're bonding over that no matter what. So I think that's a really good point with the puzzles and something for Survivor players in the future to think about. If you go into the puzzle and it's always a pair, think about getting in on that, because if you win, that is a bond and that's not going to break.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, again, do I know everything about all these tribes? I think I might.
You probably have in the first five episodes of every other season from this new era.
We're going to have to be pretty good at our power rankings next week. It's not going to be good if we're way off base. So if Yellow goes back to tribal council, mm-hmm. does Emily go home? You don't think so?
No, I think the most important, we didn't get to this yet, I think the most important relationship of this episode, Caleb and Emily.
Yeah, and that was huge.
Huge. Sean had a lot of content tonight talking about, the whole Emily thing and Brandon and Brandon's weak and this and that. Sean kind of felt like the narrator. Emily was narrating her own story. Emily's already gone from villain to redemptive queen or whatever you want to call her.
I don't want it. I want villain Emily. I would like to return this.
Yeah, bitch, please. Like, we
Phil.
No, but I need
per
it.
Per her last email, she's back. She's back.
Per her last email, start hating these people. But at the same time, what's beautiful about it is Emily's a human being, right? She's mm-hmm. a normal freaking person, which is why we always say don't attack personally. And I think Emily learned a lot about herself, but a lot of that came from Caleb. She mm-hmm. didn't feel really, really indebted to Caleb moving forward. And I think Sabaya, who is a phenomenal casting choice, and I mm-hmm. love Sabaya. I think she is great TV, sitting there with her wax candle.
So good.
I think she's not as close with Caleb as it was being led on in that first episode. And I think the reason they showed us Emily drawing attention to that when they didn't have to is because Emily's almost going to steal Caleb back. And mm-hmm. I feel like Caleb and Emily are actually going to bond pretty closely here, because also, you know who Caleb can beat 100 times out of 100 in a final tribal council?
Probably Emily.
So if you're going to go down with the ship, go down with Emily as your ship and try to do the Malcolm and Denise thing, but you don't need to vote her out at final four. Take her to final three with you. Unless she keeps on this whole redemptive bullshit. Anyway.
I am not here for that. I think did you see Marianne's tweet that was like, Emily figured this out in 90 minutes and it took Spencer two seasons?
I love that.
I was like, girl, don't do him like that.
I love that.
But I lost my train of thought here. Yeah, I think this is something that I think we should keep an eye on too with the 90-minute episodes. Sabaya and Brando were like she was getting into him when they were doing that puzzle together. And Sabaya, right before tribal council, even though she didn't have a vote, was like, it's kind of fun being in charge. It's kind of fun being the queen bee. I wonder if that is, if like now we have enough time to like preset people up for potential falling apart. But I really like her being on top. I think it's very fun. I think she's very confident and she's like a hair above Drew just because she's been in this position now. She's gone to two tribal councils. So she's going to be fun. It would be cool to see like Sabaya become the villain and Emily become the hero. And maybe they continue to switch sides. But I feel really confident about Sean. I think he's probably the safest one on that beach.
For the next tribal, but I think Sean's in a weird spot where he doesn't have a tight number two. And I think that could end up hurting him moving forward. Somebody wanted a hot take earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just throw it out there. I mean, I already said Red's gonna have the winner, but if Yellow has a winner, it's Emily. There's the hot take. She Woo. Will win if anybody from Yellow overcomes and wins this game. Emily will be that person. It won't be Caleb, who was one of my preseason winner picks. It won't be Sabaya, who is TV gold and everybody's in love with. And it won't be Sean, who is the world's greatest principal. It's going to be Emily. If anybody from Yellow wins, it's going to be Emily. I just think she is going to be underestimated. And I think she learned a lot about herself in a short amount of time. And I think she's definitely smart enough that she understands if she wants to win this game. I think Sabaya says it at the beginning of this episode. It's brutal, but it's so true. You are trying so hard to not be liked.
I wrote that down. I was like, oh my God.
Brutal, but so true. And if she's learning from that, then good.
So awesome. Good. Yeah. I see. I think it could be Caleb too, especially if he's like the one who helps her grow. And mm-hmm. then think of how good it would be. Like he brings her back and then like she stabs him in the back. There's so much good stuff here. It's so good.
Yeah. And we got ex Survivor specialist Will saying, I think Brandon has the best chance on Yellow. Cause you know, he definitely does, but also Will, Drew reminded me very much of Will with his like three word sentences. That's how Will talks when he's super confident in himself.
And very tall.
Just as frustrating as you would think. anyway.
Will's a tall guy and Drew's tall. Also, sorry, not to interrupt. The camera work when Julie and Drew were talking to each other was 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
So good.
It's because he's huge. But I also wanted to say they also have very patchy, weak facial hair. That is another thing that I need to throw out. Will and Drew together. But anyway. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I thought the whole Julie-Drew scene was really good, and I'm curious to see what's going to be Drew's downfall here, because you said it's confidence but not cocky, and I do agree with that, but I'm also a little concerned that maybe it becomes cocky and he starts to like take people for granted a little bit moving forward. Yeah. Okay, but then there's two things we have to talk about, and it doesn't have to be long, but we have to. First of all, new puzzles. Wow.
Oh what a concept. God.
Same style as the flame or the tree, but it's coral and it's different and it's not something you can prepare for. And if you noticed, Brandon, who probably tried every puzzle before the season started, was trying to go by the piece rather than looking at the image, which is what so many people had probably been doing for years and years.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening and making a new puzzle.
That and you can't sit at the same person in back-to-back challenges was devastating for Survivor 44. Mm-hmm. I thought that was so good. But that was also like, talk about engaging the audience too. I was like, what is the problem? Why can't they figure it out? And then you realize like the coral has edges. So now you know any edge piece, don't even pick it up. You don't even need to look at it. He had it completely upside down. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was great. And it's, again, it's not different enough. Maybe they even repainted old ones. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
But it was different enough that preparation didn't matter. And it's still a tough challenge.
Yeah. No, it's huge. We've needed new puzzles. That was a huge thing we were screaming about all the time. We need new puzzles. We need new puzzles. We need new puzzles. Finally, we got new puzzles. And I like this new sit-out situation because it was always – you cannot sit out the same person back-to-back challenges. Well, if reward challenges are gone, make it so that we can understand what you mean, Jeff, because we don't understand. I think this is a great move for the show. It's going to suck for our prop bets because now I don't know when we're going to get the three sit outs, but I love it. It just back-to-back. So now Sifu and Katara have to participate in the next challenge. There you go. I love that. Thank you.
Carson Sorry, and Claire, Claire for game changers too.
Yeah, Claire, I know. Everybody's been saying that, and that's going to be the big thing. Claire's going to be the random addition so that she can finally participate in a challenge for the first time ever.
So good. So, yeah, I thought I was a huge, huge fan of that. I thought that was fantastic.
All right, so I want to jump into some props here. And first, for those who were playing in the fantasy game, which for all you patrons who sent in your teams, we're going to start keeping track, and it all starts with episode number 2. And so, Alexa... this could not have worked out better than it has. And I need to actually remember to keep this score updated throughout. Otherwise, it's going to be a nightmare because we added so much for the fantasy game. But Bruce mentioned, of all people, pain. Okay. Big one. Why Kane, when they were saying name dropping and then it's Kane, What, like, did the editors remember how they edited last season?
Like, not Tony? Parvati?
Anybody else from his season. I mean, how about the winner of his season? How about Jam Jam, who he was on the starting tribe with? He never met Kane.
That's so true. Oh, my gosh. That's so true. And he, what did he say? He was like,
he's from Canada. Like,
he's from Canada, which, like, true. And he was, what is he like? He's a wild guy.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah. We know he likes Dungeons and Dragons. That's the extent of what I know about Mr. Kane. But that was great.
I'm going to need Kane's response. But that was, you could have run that a million times over. I wouldn't have guessed that.
And then Drew mentioned JT and Steven, both of them. So you get a point for each of those people. That's one, you know, it's every time they mention a former player.
Is Drew on my fantasy tribe?
Drew is on nobody's. Remember, I had between him and Jay Maya, and I took Jay Maya, and I might have elected to not take the winner. Oops. We had no pictures of other people, which I'm totally fine with. We didn't need them.
Keep it going,
And then that'll knock Brandon out on day five. So that's 2.5 points for anybody who had Brandon. We did say that the only thing that'll carry over is the days. So I gave you all the hint to not pick Hannah because that wouldn't have helped your game. Plus would have given you the quit.
According to Jeff, voted out at the last tribal council.
Every now and then my wife says something really, really smart. And so I'm just going to give her the credit for this now. And her mom is going to listen to this, not her. And her mom's going to be like, wow, you just said that.
That's how you married.
All these people. But anyway, I got to give the credit here. She said, Jeff probably didn't want to mention it because if you put the idea that you can quit in people's heads, all of a sudden people start saying, there's already been a quit this season. Like, maybe I'll quit. This is too hard. I almost feel like it's easier for the Jeffs to say, she was voted out. Quitting's not an option. Don't even think about it. It's not something that happened on this season. Let them find out organically. Don't state it like that. If you say she quit the game, everybody's going to go, what? How did that happen? And then they're going to all question it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But also it puts in everybody's head, you can still quit Survivor. And man, this has been a hard season. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe there was a little bit of that to it.
Interesting. Rachel, if you're listening, I like that theory.
Yeah.
Sounds like Phil likes it too.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. So I'm into that theory. No,
Mark Simon's 193 people just heard that. Also, 193 people here right now is alarming.
I know.
It's a lot of people.
And I keep saying this, but it feels like this is the first. Look, I like season 43, and I think season 44 had its moments. 42, I enjoyed. 41, I didn't. But this feels like it almost makes me want to go back and watch 41 through 44 so I can say, nope. I was just lying to myself for so much of this that I was enjoying it more than I really was. I feel like people are enjoying this a lot mm-hmm. because it feels like the show that we want it to be.
Yeah.
So definitely. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, props, back to props.
Yeah. A couple of props. Brandon got 5 votes or less and had a confessional in every episode. Right now, everybody is on pace to have a confessional in every episode. Mm-hmm. Emily cried a physical tear. They were evil tears, though, so she will use them to kill somebody later. Sean had his mouth blurred. Yikes. It was a very quick thing, but Mr. Principal, I don't know
Mr.
how
I potty mouth. That. I don't know if I got Sean's blurred mouth. I got Sean's Lululemon reference. Yeah, I was you can do that?
I heard him say it, but I didn't get it.
I got... So Kendra blurred her mouth.
Yeah, she's done that like 75 times.
It's happened a couple of times. Brandon blurred his mouth.
He already did that.
Drew, this is a weird one. Drew's subtitle blurred, but I don't know if we saw his mouth blur.
What do you mean his, I don't know.
It was when he was doing that challenge and he like turned his head down and it was like, oh, beep. And I don't know if we saw like a blur, but the text was not there.
So we'll have to rewatch that for the mouth. It's very clearly a mouth blur. So that is the important part here. So we will have to rewatch for that. But that's a good point. I didn't even notice that. I didn't have anything else because Sifu and Katara sit out. Obviously, nobody has 3 yet. And we don't know about any of the other stuff. Brandon came very close to hugging Jeff.
He touched his shoulder.
We don't have shoulder touch in here, though, as something. Who? Okay, so... I go to you, chat, which you're all over here, so that's why I'm pointing. Who said bazooka at a tea party?
Oh, that was Emily.
It was. Okay, so Emily had the
fantastic, fantastic quote.
Emily had the episode title. I heard her say tea party, but I missed the bazooka part. So yes, that's on me.
I think that was so good.
Yeah.
Okay. Or it would have, this would have like given it away, but I think another good one would have been people are not stocks. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. So. The people are not stocks. Did I just freeze?
You're currently.
Can you hear me though?
I hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I'm broken, but I can hear me.
That's so weird.
Anyway, I was going to ask you, are people stocks? That was how I meant to start this podcast, but I totally forgot. Before we go, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. There was so much to actually talk about in this episode, but I need to ask this. Emily gave away her shot in the dark. What did you think about this? And I'm going to leave and come back.
Okay. I'm going to be here. I absolutely love that Emily gave up her shot in the dark. I think it's so hard to earn people's trust in Survivor. It's so hard to earn people's trust. And this was the first... Swearing on whatever means nothing. It hasn't meant anything in a very long time. So I think Emily giving something physical and something that doesn't mean a lot, but it means enough for someone in her position, I think that's great. I think Sabaya will give it back to her because also like Sabaya can't use it. So it's just kind of like mean if you keep it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I loved it. What about you?
I thought it was a good idea. Mm-hmm. I really did. I thought it was a smart idea. I was into it. I thought do whatever you can. Do whatever you can to stay in the game. And if that's the only leverage you have, use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. So,
and you know what? I don't know if it actually made a difference in tonight's episode, but I think it was a smart move.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it. I thought it was very creative. And I think that really was a huge turning point for her because Sabaya is the person that she was having the biggest like riff with, or Sabaya seemed to feel the strongest about her. Sean, I think, was just all about the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb was kind of gassing her up in the background. So I think she chose the right person to give it to.
Yeah. And the thing is, she was never going to be able to play that tonight because it was only three people voting and everybody knew Brandon didn't have a vote. And she didn't know Sabaya didn't have a vote, but everybody else on the tribe did. So she's sitting there saying, there's three or four people voting. There's not that many. So I gotta try.
Great comment to close it out. Zach with the best use of the shot in the dark we've seen in five seasons now. It's so true.
It's very true.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
57 minutes. I mean, we got this.
And it felt like we could have just kept going. But
absolutely.
So was there anything? No, I guess if you want to do a vacation, click the link in the thing. There's 194 of you listening right now. So click the link in the thing if you're trying to do like a vacation, Disney World. See, I got Donald Duck back here. So do that. Anyway, go ahead, Alexa.
So anyways, we are going to continue having some guests on for our predictions and power rankings podcast. And we are so excited to welcome for the first time ever to the Survivor Specialist podcast. Lindsay Carmine is going to be joining us from Survivor 43. She will be joining us this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Excited to go back to Sunday nights. We're very excited to talk to Lindsay. We're huge fans of hers and I'm blushing. I think she's a fan of us as well. So we're really excited to hear what she has to say. I think this is also around when she was voted out, so it'll be interesting to hear her perspective on that, especially because we're getting a camp raid. And I think she went home during a camp raid. So I'm really excited. Very happy to have Lindsay on.
I'm very excited for that one. And make sure to become patrons, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. That's the big one. Come hang out. This is the time of year to do it. McKenna and John are doing the Amazing Race. I'm doing my after show, which I'll put out tomorrow for top tier patrons. Top tier patrons are playing along in the power rankings game and in the fantasy game. You'd be a little late to join those at this point, but hey, why not try? You could have a shot. Who knows? Also, John and McKenna are doing the Survivor Rewind. So there's a lot of content going out. That's in addition to our retrospective and our Q&A. And we did a retrospective this past month about what episodes we wish were 90 minutes long. And I talked about an entire season. And I mentioned one episode that was 2 hours long that I wish was shorter. So go check those out. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And we also have a Discord that was a little more active tonight than after the premiere. I think people were just so happy that Survivor was good tonight that everybody's a little confused. But here we are.
It's confusing and exciting.
All at the same time.
Tune in after this to the Movie Buffs podcast and you'll see Phil and I back this Sunday at 7 p.m. with special guest Lindsay.
Yeah. And if you like Guardians of the Galaxy, that's what we're talking about. So come listen. John doesn't like it. So it'll be fun because you can just put in the comments that he's a loser.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I know. It's like one of the few I've liked so far, and he doesn't like it. He's just always gonna be a contrarian.
Gotta be contrarian.
Canadian. That's what I would say about John if I was ever on Survivor. He's Canadian. That's it.
He's Canadian. Bruce-